trouble at mill? Well, not trouble so much as the trouble doubt causes. It is doubt which creates ideas, doubt and uncertainty, the craving to know. Doubt begets a search, where a certainty kills, Oliviera de Sé mused equably in the sun, undisturbed by the weight of his rumination. He began sifting through his incomplete knowledge of history to try and decide whether more wars had been fueled by doubt than had begun out of certainty. Such weighty thought made him insensible to the appearance of a proud man in the courtyard. Proud, but strangely uncertain. Fortunately, Isabella Balladur Sé came to the courtyard. "Ah, Senor, what would you like to eat?" The bread and cheese, to begin with. I have travelled 5,000 miles to eat the bread of your flour and to sit in the courtyard with the old man." 5,000 miles is a long way to go for bread, Senor. "It will sustain me, and the sight of the old man and the cat will revive me." "Your journey has tired you, Senor. Bring me the food and coffee." "We do not have coffee, Senor. We have heard of it, and we are promised some soon, but I will bring you coffee. Tomorrow I will return with 2 bags of beans, and I will show you how we cook it. But first, get me the bread, and if you wouldn't mind, tell the old man I have carried his image across 2 oceans and 2 continents. I will tell him, Senor, but this is a different old man. This is Oliviera de Sé." "Ah, the grandson of the miller." "No, Senor. First there was Gustavo Cerveza, then there was Peng Kai, then Yen Sé, then for a great many years Yen Kai, and now this is Oliviera de Sé, the grandson of Yen Kai, Yen Sé's son." "A long time has passed. Our flour is very famous, Senor." "It is more famous than you think, Senorita. People you cannot imagine are very familiar with the old man and the cat. Bring me bread, and then I will tell you how famous is the legend of your mill, how it serves as a standard of civilization on continents where there is no civility."
You are a conquistador, Senor.
The old man, Oliviera de Sé, called as he stroked the famous black cat, or rather the 31st most famous black cat.
"You speak of coffee and 5,000 miles. You are a conquistador."
"I am Enrico Cortez, Father Sé, brother of Hernando Cortez. I carried your image from Castile to Tenochtitlan."
"It is not my image, Senor. It is the image of many old men at peace with their world."
"Father Sé, it is the peace which sustained me in all the vicissitudes of my life."
"I thought it was blood and gold that sustained the conquistador."
"It may be for some, Father, but for myself it was your image, your courtyard of peace and contentment, where a man may need never lift his right arm except to receive more wine."
"You are tired, Senor."
"I am, Father, but I am home."
"We are pleased to have you in our courtier. We used your flour bags as saddle blankets, pillows and counterpane. We prayed to your image that we might sit once again with the idleness to stroke a cat."
"Oh, I am not idle, my valiant conquistador. It is hard work to keep a cat purring. She has to be stroked just so, and never too often in the same way, and never in the wrong direction. They are demanding creatures.
It is enviable work. We imagined labouring in just such a way. My brother's son went to the Americas with Campetano Pizarro. You may know of him."
"Indeed, Father Sé, indeed, indeed. Velasquez, Sé, is revered by his countrymen as a legend unto himself, and to the Indians he is a god. But you will never see him again."
He is dead, surely. No, father, do not despair. Velasquez Say was one of our most noble leaders. When we were dying of hunger and thirst, he taught us how to grind corn into flour. He carried the tradition of this humble mill to unimaginable corners of the earth. He learnt the language of the Aztec and Mayan and Navajo. When at last those Indians had shown us their heart of gold, then Tenochtitlan, and we began the slaughter of them. It was Velasquez Say who begged us to spare them. When we continued to do as we had been ordered, for what else is a soldier to do? He fled with the survivors along the great river Amazona, and we never saw him again. But he is alive. We hear of him, of his legend. How is that possible? Because he carried with him what Indians came to see as a magical talisman. On his finger he wore a ring with the face of a woman embossed in gold. Like this one, see? I know that woman. And because Velasquez had saved them from us, their enemy, their betrayer, they revered her. Velasquez told them she was his great-great-grandmother, and they knew of such long family lines, and they worshipped her, and her image began to appear on walls and tablets, plates and jewellery. While we slept in mosquito-ridden swamps, covered in leeches and spiders, clinging to our flour bags for protection, our faces pressed into your image, we began to find Panarandola Balador's image carved in trees, embossed on gold squibs, meant to warn us of her power to condemn our atrocities. Ah, yes, she would have condemned. And that is why I have come to your father. I have seen the things which forever rob a man of his ability to believe in a divine presence, so I cannot confess to the church. Instead, I have come to you. It is to your image I have confessed my sins and implored forgiveness. It is this bread and this wine taken in this courtyard to which I pledged my... Oh, I don't know what it is I pledged, but I said that if I lived, and that seemed unlikely if I were to live, and if by some fluke I were to board a ship and return to Espana, I would not eat or drink a mouthful on the land until I had done so in this courtyard. Salute. Salute, my son. I do not expect forgiveness. You do not have it. I simply wish to put an end to a journey I wish I had not begun, despite the gold. Of course you do not believe me, for what is a conquistador without his barrels of gold and rubies? But I knew Velasquez well. He saved my company by the simple precaution of feeding us the Indian greens and poulticing our wounds with the magic mud of Amazona, and without that I would have perished, and it troubles me that we left him there with the Indians. His people have become used to living in strange lands among strange people. His inclination to travel far and save the poor runs thick in his blood from his great-great-great ancestor, Yen Say, his greatest uncle, Peng Kai, and the incomparable Panarandola Balador, and all the old men who have sat in the same chair, of which I am the very least in the line. We like to believe, Father, that there was just the one old man, just the one cat. Many like to believe that nothing they love changes. We like to believe that while we made war and created misery, wherever we went, that we, the Castilians, made our bread from peaceful flour. It is strange the affection we had for this relic of our country's dignity. Men are strange. War is strange. Too many men enjoy war. The independence, the camaraderie, the crime without the punishment, the opportunity to murder, rape and steal in the name of justice. It is a strange life, and all men need flour and horses. Yes, flour and horses. a strange life. We often wondered why we were on the other side of the world. The gold. Yes, the gold. It is true. But there was this other thing. The discovery. The conquest. Yes, it is probably that. The feeling of conquering the whole world. Senor, here. Let me fill your cup with the best rosé in the whole of the Catalina Valley. Thank you, Senorita. It is a great pleasure to receive wine from one so beautiful. And your name? Isabella Balladur Say, Senor. The granddaughter of the incomparable Panerondola. The great-granddaughter, Senor. Life, it seems, goes on. For some it goes on, and for some it does not, Senor Conquistador. Oliviera interrupted. And some never receive the dignity of dying of old age, or even on their own soil. Flower builds, and the sword destroys. You are wise, old man. No, Senor, that is where you are wrong. It is not wisdom to discover that food builds bodies and the sword cuts them down, but it is wise to regret the latter. Even though they be savages, with golden temples, terraced cities, and fields, and they worship the sun and sacrifice their children. And of course, we never sacrifice children, Senor. Is it we who define the line between civility and barbarity, and who is which side? In such circumstances, it is wise not to consider regret or what has been. Enrico wondered why soldiers always seemed to apologize to those they believed they had saved. He accepted another cup of the rosé and rotated the vessel between thumb and forefinger, admiring how the wine strove to project its pinkness through the depth of the cup's deep green glass. All this way, he murmured to himself. The clatter of hooves on cobble could not intrude into his melancholia. Greetings, Senor. A man's voice greeted Enrico. The conquistador looked up to see a man leading a small donkey. A black man. And a confused donkey. Well, it looked confused to Enrico, who was not ignorant in the habits and demeanour of ass. Enrico stared at the man leading the beast, the black man who had greeted him, who had the impertinence to greet him as just another traveller on the road. Enrico called after him. You, man, who are you? I am Tambor Sailor. Carrier. But you are black. How observant you are, Senor. When we're not used to black people. Speaking or leading donkeys. Well, Enrico looked at the green glass, hoping to trawl a cuttingly superior remark from its depths. I live here, Senor. My father lived here. My grandfather lived here. They were musicians, but we were all black. It seems we can't help it. Isabella returned with a basin and cloth. Uncle Tambor, she greeted the old man, kissing him on the cheek. I will get you some bread and cheese, and when I finish these tables, I'll fetch you some of the sardines Amelia Rose is cooking. Oh, Senor, she said, noticing Enrico. We are closing. I am just about to clean. We dreamed that our mill never closed. That no, Senor. It has always closed at siesta. But you may stay if you wish. After all, you have had such a long journey. When I am finished, I will bring a plate of sardines so that you may eat with Tambor in the shade of the wall. I'd prefer to eat with the old man, but you can see he is asleep. Isabella regarded him, noticing his consternation. Or perhaps you would prefer the company of the cat, even though it too is asleep, and black. Tambu led the donkey from the courtyard toward the stables at the rear. The animal's confusion caused it to look around each corner with hesitant trepidation. But it has always turned these corners because that's what donkeys did, and perhaps for that reason it was called Adolfo. After Isabella had wiped the table, she took Oliviera de Say by the arm and guided him into the house, the black cat whisking its tail imperiously in their wake. "Oh, Senor," Isabella called to Enrico, "I will bring you that plate of sardines and some more wine if you care to join Tambour at the table. I won't be long." Enrico was left alone in the courtyard. He rose from his seat, tapping his pockets as if for tobacco or coins or a memory or something to do. The stage business of a human confounded by his circumstances. He inspected pots of geraniums, although he'd hardly looked at a flower in his life. He hefted knives to gauge their weight, but for what purpose he could not tell. He ran his finger along the underside of wooden tables as if to inspect their finish, but then found himself beside the old man's chair and slumped into it without realizing he'd done so. The cat, hearing the familiar scrape of the chair legs, strolled languidly into the yard, appearing to sigh at the impositions of its rein, but leapt into Enrico's lap anyway. His hand hovered above the neck of the animal, uncertain in the application of affection. A child's running feet could be heard approaching the courtyard, the fervent tattoo driven by the untrammeled joy of the simple act of running. "Hola, anciano," the child called as it disappeared through the arch leading to the stables. "Ah, you have met my Oliviera, Senor," Isabella said as she whisked into the courtyard. "Here are your sardines and a plate for Tambour when he returns, and here, a special jug of wine to share with him, Green Galicia. My great aunt Selena perfected this wine to celebrate the old man and his cat, but you are welcome to some as you sit in his chair." Isabella left, and soon after Tambour arrived, plucking straw from his sleeve. "That Adolfo," he began, shaking his head. "Never sure if you are feeding him or poisoning. Ah, you have my wine." Tambour rubbed his hands in expectation and dragged a table and another chair closer so that the conquistador need not move. Enrico held the two plates of sardines, bewildered by the world he had saved. "What an excellent way to begin," declared Tambour, taking a plate and crunching a sardine between his teeth, the salt singing on his lip. The black man poured two cups of the lime-yellow wine and went to take a long draught before turning to Enrico. "Saludo, compadre. We eat, we drink, we are alive, anciano agato," he declared, hoisting his cup into the air before tipping the liquid down his throat with a fine glottal swoop. Mesmerized, Enrico raised his cup uncertainly. "It's all right. You can call me Tambour."
Bruce, we're in Spain. So what was the story you were trying to get across for this? Because we've just heard the last part of the whole book. And, of course, this man has been on, obviously, quite a journey to get to where he is, quite a quest.
Yeah, he's part of the Spanish invasion of South America, where the Spanish were just beasts to the people. The slaughter there is almost impossible to read. It's so terrible. And yet the civilization that lived there was not without fault, but was incredible. And yet the Spanish were there to replace it with bestiality and bastardry. And so the Spanish conquistador returns to Spain and has this dream of peace and the courtyard and the old man and the cat, which is the stamp on the flower bags that they used. He just wanted to return there and enjoy the peace.
after having wreaked war, and he returns there and he's greeted by a black man, and he's confounded and so has to reorder his thinking about this new world that he's returned to, because the mill, the old mill, has collected around it a diverse group of people of all races and both sexes and many inclinations, and he doesn't know how to live in this world, but you know, it's a world we're going to have to live in.